Welcome to the mini. Yeah, welcome to the Minivate Gang podcast for Friday, July 3rd, 2009. This is Steve Borsch, and on with me is Tim Elliott.
Hey, good morning.
Graham Thickens.
Yes, from vacation even.
And Phil James Cagney Wilson.
I'm a Yankee Doodle Dandy. How are you?
Excellent, excellent. So what do you guys know for sure?
I've decided to do this. I've decided to tell everybody that I'm actually calling from my lake cabin.
That's a good plan.
So I don't really have a lake cabin, but I figure I could act like I have one, and I could have a virtual lake cabin.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't you live in Lakeville?
Oh, yeah. So we'd actually have a lake house, a Lakeville house. Oh, yeah.
There you go.
Well, that's close enough.
And Tim, you're bungee jumping off the IDS tower? Is that the...
I'm at the cabin as well.
Okay. All right.
See?
Right by the lake. Near where Phil is.
Yeah. And I'm
here in the city of the Ville of Lakes.
Yeah. I'm sitting here by a glass of water.
There it works.
Right by me here. There's white caps on it. And yeah.
So one of these days now, Graham, one of these days we're going to want you to walk down to the water's edge and splash some water so we can actually hear that you're at the lake, or if you really have like a virtual cabin.
Yeah. Hey,
that's what I should be doing. I should be out on my stand-up paddleboard with my iPhone and earbuds plugged in, and I could make splashes for you guys. Yeah.
They got an app for that.
That's right.
So what does any of this have to do with personal media hubs and, technology?
Okay. Yeah, we should talk about...
of Mr. Borsch's presentation at SMB.
SMB, social media breakfast.
What a segue.
What'd you guys think of it?
It was awesome.
I mean, not the presentation, but just the whole event.
Great.
What was the head count? How many people attended? I never got a
file. I believe it was a gob.
A gob?
250 registered, and I'll bet a bunch showed up even beyond that. I didn't get
I know. I sat with a lot of people that crashed, so.
Really?
Yeah, they didn't need no stinking ticket.
Well, I've had several people who have emailed me with questions, and they wanted to run stuff by me and so on. So that's been pretty interesting. A couple people, I don't know what you guys think of this. A couple people have said, thanks for putting up your slides, but could you maybe do some audio along with that? And that's actually, and I did think about that because the whole presentation Zen approach where you don't have a bunch of bullet points, you have things that reinforce your point, make it such that you go to SlideShare, for example, and you start going through somebody's presentation, you're like, what the hell were they talking about?
Well, see that, but that's what SlideShare is supposed to do, guys. This is called the tease. You want people to look at your slides and go, this looks like it could be interesting. I need to talk to this person. And more importantly, I need to pay this person to tell me these things. Now, come on. This is what SlideShare is all about. It's all about the tease.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Well, you want them to reach out to you and talk to you. Whether you charge them or not, that's really up to you, but it's an opportunity. I mean, all of this stuff is really about connection. So I think that SlideShare and posting your slides is a great idea. You should keep doing it and just make it easy for people to reach out to you.
Right.
But that's me.
Yeah, good point.
Was there a video there, Steve? Because I didn't get to go, and the live video was unlistenable, unfortunately.
Too much wind?
Well, no, it just it wasn't mic'd very well, so there was a lot of noise, and so I just turned it off after a while because I wasn't getting anything out of it.
Were they you streaming it?
Yeah. Well, it was on a different service. It was it was on the cooler version of Ustream, whatever that is.
Well, Rick Mon had his consumer camcorder hooked up to his laptop, and that's what he was using for streaming. I don't believe that he was patched into the sound system. So that's why the audio was as it was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, usually there's a higher quality version that someone posts later. So I'll have to go check that out.
Yeah.
Well, let's do a quick little recap. Let's set the table here because there are those people that listen to us. I know. it's hard to believe that may not know what Social Media Breakfast is and where it was and what we're talking about. So just to give you a quick download, the Social Media Breakfast is, of course, a gathering of social media professionals and those interested in social media. Happens once a month. Rick Mon had put it together and actually has grown it into one of the largest SMBs in the country. And last Friday, Social Media Breakfast was held at the Deluxe Corporation in Partner Up. Actually, it was so big, they held it out on the lawn at the compound there. And along with that, they employed the use of a Jumbotron for Steve to do his presentation on. So that's what we're talking about. And we had anywhere between 200 and 300 folks out on the lawn that day. So there's the quick download for
Perfect.
And Steve, I really did enjoy the presentation you put together about social hubs and publishing and that sort of a thing. So and of course you were way off the geek meter on the iPhone app for Keynote, but it was great to see it. Tell us a little bit about where you're going with that presentation from here. I mean, it was a great presentation for SMB, but is it the start of something, or are you going to stick with that sort of basic presentation?
Well, you know, the intention is to encapsulate some sort of a social publishing hub around WordPress and productize that. There are so many people that need more than a typepad can deliver, or a WordPress.com, or certainly a blogger. And even the microblogging platforms, like one that you guys saw the thing with Steve Rebell, the SVP at Edelman, who has said he's no longer going to blog. He's going to use Posterous as his live streaming aggregator.
Yeah, I'm going to do that too.
Yeah.
I've decided to join Steve.
Well, I'm absolutely blown away by Posterous. And they're talking about, they blogged about the fact that they're going to have a pro version. So my assumption is that you'll be able to theme it, and make it your own and customize it. Because right now it's pretty generic. And it's all about the content, but that's one piece. But at the end of the day, what people really want is they want to go to one place, especially if you're a professional and you're in business, to go to one place and to find out who you are, what you offer, what's your value proposition, and all of that. And it's a little content management system, CMS. And it's a little social publishing and connecting up. And then for personal, the live streaming thing is great. Or if you're a guy like Rebell or Scoble or, somebody that is running around all over God's creation and seeing things and they want to throw it into a stream just so it's not lost to the world, I think the live streaming thing makes perfect sense.
Well, will it kill blogging, I guess, is the next question.
Yeah, just like radio killed, or TV killed radio, and movies killed stage theater. No, it's not going to kill it, for God's sakes. There's still going to be a need for long form or a desire for some long form writing. I truly believe that. Will it be as huge? I don't know. I mean, it's just like everything that's new and exciting at first. It evolves, and I think it'll just continue to evolve.
Yeah. Well, but by the end of the day, too, there's a friend of mine who is a video geek. And actually he's a gadget geek, has a $3,500 high def camera that he hardly uses. But at any rate, his grandfather or great grandfather was, some right-hand man with David Sarnoff in the radio business when it first started. And he made films on the side, and Eric has taken his films and put them to video and made DVDs out of them. But what's really interesting, and he and I got into a discussion about this, is that in the day of a camcorder, when your marginal cost for media is basically zero, I mean, it's nothing. You can record hours and hours and hours and hours of stuff. So as a consequence, you kind of never get to the point and you get all this stuff. It's the same thing with blogging. When I shoot a video with my iPhone now, I bought the 3GS. When I shoot a video with it, I'm not going to take an hour's worth of video with this phone. I might take, 2 minutes. So I'm going to capture whatever I want to capture, and then that's it. So it's little bite-sized chunks. That's what I like about the live streaming concept. And blogging in some ways is like, a VHS camcorder. You got a 2-hour tape, so let's take an hour of the kids sleeping.
Only you would do that, Steve.
And I did. Actually, that's why I brought it up, Steve, as an example. I think
you're putting you're generalizing everybody based on what you're saying. Yes, you're the king of the really long post. There's no doubt about that. Yeah. But there are people that post in smaller bite-sized chunks, and there's nothing that says a blog can't do that.
Well, that's, yeah, and that's a big point with WordPress is, you know, there are live streaming themes available.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to use it,
talk about WordPress. You've become part of the WordPress user group. Both Tim and you are doing presentations for WordPress user group. Is that, am I correct on that? Both of you guys?
Mm-hmm. Well, not necessarily presentation. It's like discussion leader kind of thing.
Yeah, conversation starter.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Well, why don't you talk about the WordPress group and the meetup and stuff, Tim?
Well, I didn't have anything to do with it. I just noticed that on Twitter, like everybody else, it's coming up at the end of July. What is it? The 30th? I think it's on a Thursday, as I recall.
I think so.
It's at Sierra Bravo.
I'll put it in the show notes.
And it looks like a great event. There's about 75 people, many of which are on this podcast right now, signed up. And it's kind of like a mini bar, mini demo kind of a deal, you know, unconference. So it should be fairly interesting to get together with everybody that's into WordPress here in the Twin Cities.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm gonna do a little thing on using WordPress as a content management system. I've been working on a few projects where I've been combining WordPress with Magento to kind of put together a full site. And there's just a lot of things you can do with WordPress through plugins to
really
make it, you know, a full-fledged CMS, which I think it's almost as full-featured as something like Drupal is.
Well, I would concur with you in many ways. Drupal is a toolkit. I mean, the thing I love about Drupal is you can get really narrow with users and groups. So I could say the Minivate gang has access to all this content, but Tim Elliott has access to just this PDF as well. No one else does. So you can get very, very granular on the access control. I love that about Drupal. That kind of stuff is really hard to do in WordPress, but there are already plugins that allow you to get real granular on users and groups. So I think it's moving that way. And I've set some stuff up as WordPress as a CMS. I'm fascinated though, and maybe we shouldn't talk about it now, but I'm fascinated about the Magento Commerce angle, because I am really pumped about Magento, and I think it's one of the most it's got the biggest ecosystem of any open source project I've ever seen just out of the gate.
I consider it to be it's the WordPress of e-commerce shops.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yep.
So now that we put Phil and Graham to sleep.
Yeah.
No, that's all right. That's okay. I didn't get too overly geeked. That was all right.
Good.
So, but Graham, you had some news about Best Buy and Twitter, or actually, Tim, you brought that up, didn't you?
Yeah. I noticed the story that they are going to start a major Twitter initiative starting on July 19th. Their CMO, Barry Judge, who is probably one of their more prolific Twitter users and bloggers, said that more than 500 employees at the stores and at the company's headquarters here in Richfield will participate. So how they're going to do that is unprecedented. I've never seen a company say we're going to do a Twitter presence with 500 employees before.
It will be interesting to see. Yeah, that's wrangling a lot of different folks. And
yeah,
you know, how do they avoid the redundancy of hitting somebody more than once?
I don't know. I guess they're going to use CoTweet or something similar, I would assume. And it's basically they're going to use it as a customer service type of a thing. So basically answering questions, more than likely using Twitter search and other tools to find conversations and then kind of join them. My only slight criticism is the name that Barry and company have chosen, which Tweeple Force, which I've...
Yeah.
Okay.
That's kind of lame.
Twelp Force? Is that Twelp Force or Twelp?
Twelp.
I don't know.
It's Twelp. It's Twitter, Help, and Forced all together. It's Twelp,
Twelp Force. Force. Okay.
Live long and prosper.
Oh, yeah, that just seems a little, yeah, not the best name, but anyway.
No. Well, now who, Phil, I saw you tweet something to Joseph Reuter about some call you got from Best Buy on your cell phone. What was that all about?
Yeah, we had, I think anybody in the that's a member of the reward zone at Best Buy got automated phone messages from the folks over at Best Buy. I didn't sit through the whole thing, but it was clearly a, you know, here's some deals with reward zone, or we've made some changes to reward zone. And I got it on my cell phone, and I know Joe got it, and I believe some other folks that I follow on Twitter. They're completely automated, really obnoxious. And, you know, I don't know how many people actually sat through them. But that's kind of that concept of where old and new collide. You know, it's clearly an automated dial program, but you know, who's to say?
So this,
I don't know how effective those are.
So this 12 force, if it's positioned as sort of an at Comcast cares, and we're going to, you know, help you, and throw this out, or if it's more jumping on somebody when they mention a high def TV, it'll be interesting to see how they finesse, how they interact with the community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it will be interesting to see, but you know, clearly everything, especially in the social space, I don't necessarily want to diss somebody on the automated phone stuff, because I mean, that's a technique that works in large numbers. It's not very personal, but then again, the phone has sort of gotten to that point. Marketing on the phone has gotten to a point where it's not very personal, but clearly Twitter and the social media space is all about personal. So trying to automate it, I hope that's not the plan there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just jumped into Hootsuite, which, by the way, as a Twitter tool, is awesome. And
yes.
I just did a 12 force search and found that they have this account, and it looks like they're already starting to tweet on it.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, it looks like it's unorganized at this point. So I guess their 19th launch is to try to get a better handle on that. But it's someone's working it right now.
Huh. And do you use Hootsuite yourself, Tim?
I hadn't used it ever. I've been a co-tweet kind of guy, and I've also used TweetLater to do kind of the automation piece. But I like the way that Hootsuite sort of brings some of all of that together and allows me to share out accounts, manage accounts. It has its own kind of version of Bitly, which is called Owly. Yep. So it does save you one letter, does all the stats from that. So that's really nice. And it just seems like a good way. You can schedule tweets. You can, again, do the co-tweet sort of thing where you have editors have access to the account and things like that. And it, you know, it's threaded with Twitter search. So it does almost everything that I want a Twitter client to do. And the only criticism is it's online. I'd rather see something like this in an air application.
Gotcha. Well, I like the little Hootlet too, because there's, you know, so often when I want to tweet about a specific page I'm on or an article or something. Huh.
Speaking of quickly, aggregators and propagators and those sorts of things that we're using, like Hootsuite, TweetDeck. I got an update from TweetDeck yesterday, at least on the Windows version. I haven't checked to see if there's an update for Mac, but the Windows version.
There is. It's Windows version. It's significant. Yeah,
it's significant. I mean, it's the ability to do multiple accounts through your TweetDeck. And which promises to be very good, you know, so I'm looking forward to that, because I kind of use a combination just very much like you do, Tim, of, you know, I actually use Tweety for the multiple account stuff, and now I'll just merge that into TweetDeck. So now TweetDeck has answered a lot of different things for me. It's now allowing me multiple Twitter feeds. It's also allowing me to update my Facebook, whether I want to, you know, I have the option of updating my Facebook with my tweets and things like that. So it's really starting to become a much more robust, more user friendly thing for me. So,
yeah, my only criticism of TweetDeck is it takes up a lot of real estate. So unless you have, say, a 30-inch monitor, It's really obnoxious, and it's almost obsessive with the amount of columns that it creates. So for instance, I have 6 Twitter accounts and I can't use it because it doesn't thread those 6 together. Like something like Seismic Desktop does or Tweety. So that's why I basically don't use it. I have to understand it because customers use it. But and if you're doing 1 or 2 accounts, it's fine. But if you're doing more than that, it's in my mind, it just takes up too much monitor or real estate.
Well, since you're on the Mac, do you use Spaces?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, okay. Because that's what I do is I go in and I will use Spaces and have...
You know, 4 Spaces is not enough for me. Is that enough for you?
I have 8.
Oh, you can make more than 4?
Oh, God. Yeah, I think you can make an unlimited number.
Oh, you're kidding.
No. Okay. Yeah. So I have 8 Spaces because I have different workspaces for different things. And, right. So I have TweetDeck, for example, in Space 3, I think.
I'll have to look on how you do that because it's not obvious how you create more.
Yeah. Well, see, it's anyway. Unfortunate though, too, that you can't, run multiple instances. You know, I've tried to do that with Firefox, for example. I mean, there's ways around it, but boy, you end up screwing stuff up.
Yeah.
Yep. Hey, so, big shout out for Firefox 3.5.
Yeah, I like it.
Awesome, awesome.
It's faster, much faster.
Yeah. Yep.
Graham, you had something you wanted to say. I'm sorry, Graham has been,
I was just going to ask when you're talking about multiple Twitter accounts. Steve, how many are you monitoring or managing right now?
4.
Client stuff? Or you,
yeah. Well, actually 5 because I also am on my wife's. I watch that and help her out sometimes. And sure. 3 of them are clients and then 1 for me.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Managing multiple accounts is getting to be quite a need, I think. I've got about 5 or 6 I'm trying to deal with on a daily basis too.
Yep.
But anyway, say, do you want me to move into a couple of pieces of news that I picked up
this
week?
Yeah, please do.
Yes, please.
Talking about Best Buy, our friend Keith Burtis, the community manager for their Remix program, sent me an email pointing me to their blog where they have 2 iPhone apps now that are powered by Best Buy Remix. And one was developed by an outside consultant, and it's called iBlueShirt. And get this, you'll love this. It's like having a Best Buy employee in your pocket. And that's a crazy thought. But anyway, it's a quick product info lookup by SKU or product and ability to browse the full catalog. And you can actually add products to your shopping cart for easy online shopping on the iPhone. So that's one. And then another one that they do internally, I guess, is called Best Buy Weekly Deals.
And, I have that app.
Yeah. But, well, so maybe it isn't brand new then.
Well,
it's been out for a while.
It's been out for, I'm going to say probably 2 months.
Oh my gosh. Well, I thought he was announcing both of these like they were new. But maybe it's just iBlueShirt is new and he's mentioning the other one, while he's at it.
Yeah, the only issue that I have with the weekly deals, I don't know if you go to Woot, that site.
Mm-hmm. The daily deals?
Yeah, they have 1 item. And
I do wine.woot, by the way.
Okay.
Yep.
I did not know that there was a wine.woot.
Well, if you are a wine consumer, it's actually a really good deal.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
There's a big old ad on Woot for it, too, Steve. You got to read more.
Yeah. Well, and yeah, right. So the only issue that I have with the weekly deals is that there are too many products. I mean, it's the old paradox of choice thing. I don't know if you guys ever read that book, Paradox of Choice, but when there's too many choices, people freeze. They get paralyzed. They don't know, okay, well, now I see 50 camcorders on here. Which one would I choose? And so that's the other thing. And it would be nice to be able to sign up and select things that you might be interested in, so that you could narrow down the sources, or, you know, or in terms, because I don't care about home and appliances or music and movies, video games and toy. I don't care about that stuff. So, you know, there's probably four categories on here that I care about. And then they'd have all this profile information on me too.
Yeah, that's sort of a sideways segue into the GDGT discussion that I kind of wanted to talk about at the end.
Well, and I haven't spent much time there, so say what it is. And
yeah, so it's a GDGT.com gadget without any of the vowels. It started by Peter Rojas, who was the founder of both Gizmodo and Engadget, mm-hmm. and Ryan Block, who was the editor-in-chief of Engadget.
That's right.
They've been working on it for some time. They have a very popular podcast that's been going on for about 7 or 8 months now, and it just launched the other day. And basically the idea is, it's a highly structured wiki that has a database of just about every gadget you can imagine. And then that's mashed up with a social network that they've created themselves. And I think that's intentional. And they didn't use any of the other social network logins because they want to own the information about each person's history, what they have, what they had.
Yep.
And also what they want. So they've got all this kind of purchase information for gadgets that I would think that someone like Best Buy would really be interested in, hyper-targeted. So it would know that if you looked at my profile, for instance, that I'm looking to buy an iPhone, and I have a Windows mobile phone right now. So I think that would be interesting to both, you know, Apple, obviously, and AT&T, but also to Palm and HTC and Nokia, anyone that sells a mobile phone, saying, I'm in the market looking for one right now.
You know, and that solves a huge problem, because I've talked to several different people about this as they floated different concepts. And when Doc Searles was in, Garrick Van Buren and I joined some other guys, and we were sitting around talking to Doc. And when he was, you know, he's big on this whole vendor relationship management, or VRM direction. And one of the things we talked about was, geez, wouldn't it be nice if we were in the market for a product and we didn't have to go out and do all the shopping, that we could do a request for a proposal or something saying, I'm interested in buying a digital SLR. Here's what I want. Here's roughly what I want to pay, and let people come at you. And in some ways, this is a much more seamless way to do that. If people just sort of say, here's my intention, I'm interested in X, you know, they're not filling out a big form with all the specs they want, and because they might not even know what they want. They kind of have a right. vague notion.
Yeah, I mean, this is the idea, is to have a community and of like-minded individuals, and you know there's discussions and all sorts of other things threaded here too, but at the core it's you know, it's really putting all of your history and your future intentions in one place and making it visible. And from a marketing perspective, I think that folks like Best Buy and Target and anyone else that's selling electronics would be extremely interested in this.
Yep.
Hello?
Oh, we lost Graham.
Did we lose?
I'll add him back.
I hate when that happens.
Graham is not a gadget nerd.
No. So. We'll call him back here. I'm not going to cut this out. That's fine. Just so everyone knows, he is up in Brainerd at a lake on his iPhone with not a lot of signal. And
living better than both of us. Or
hi,
all three of
the
us.
iPhone of Graham Thickens.
Wow, that's cool. So maybe we can segue into kind of do I go back to AT&T or do I just pick up an iPhone and unlock it and stay on T-Mobile discussion? I mean, how bad is the AT&T network in the Twin Cities?
I personally think it's okay. I really do.
Okay.
There's several areas where I know not to have a call because it's going to probably drop. And those areas I've actually called in and said, hey, you know, or you should go fix this, right?
Uh-huh. But, and is the 3G coverage pretty good?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I mean, the entire metro area is saturated with 3G.
So even out at your house in Eden Prairie, it still works?
Yep, I've got all five bars right here in my house. Huh. Yeah.
Okay.
We're talking about Tim is considering buying an iPhone and going with AT&T. Well, but I've got
as your phone dropped off.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and I am on the Edge network, so I'm dying to upgrade. And the only thing that's prevented me is just time. I just haven't had a chance to get into the store and buy one. But I keep reading about the new phone. There was a great piece I read. I tweeted about on Forbes about how there's so many unheralded features, you know, like what the compass is going to do for applications, for example. I would, and the speed of the processor is, you know, the really great thing about the new 3GS that everyone notices the speed of applications, you know, opening up faster and just performing better.
Well, but, I will say though that, so what I did is I ended up putting my 3G on Craigslist, and I got $290 for it. Well, I spent $299 for the new 3GS, so
not bad.
It was essentially a wash. But
you got the big one, huh?
Yeah, I got the 32 gig. But here's the kicker: is that it feels about 30% faster. That's just a swag. I like the camera. I like the video. It is nice to have the applications come up faster. I'm not sure if to do it all over again that I would have upgraded. That I might have waited until
for
round.
For $9?
Yeah, I know. Well, I still had to go through the machinations of. But what I'm really intrigued by is the 3G at $99. That I think is really. Yep. I mean, that is pretty amazing. But to answer your question, Tim, the coverage is good.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, gentlemen, since it's the 4th of July weekend and I drove into the office today and there was one car in the parking lot and it was my wife's.
I think she slept there overnight again?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, she said, you smell bad and I'm leaving. No. No, she just went in early. That maybe we should break and go play. What do you
Sounds
think?
Sounds like a deal.
All right. Good.
Fireworks, baby.
Hey, there
Everybody
you go.
Enjoy your fireworks and your food on the grill and your American way. Don't lose a digit.
And you guys, after I post this, will have to listen to the finale at the end because I can't play it right now.
All right. Okay.
All right, guys. Have a great weekend.
All right. We'll see you next time.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Take care.
Bye-bye.